Amen. Thank you, Baptist College of Ministry Chorale, and I appreciate their good work and all those that supported them here this afternoon. In these last minutes, I want to take some time to look at not Christmas per se, though it certainly applies as you look at what Joseph and Mary had to go through and some of the difficulties right from the beginning. But I want to look in our abounding series on an area that we often don't think about when we think of that wonderful truth that God's grace is abounding, God's joy is abounding, God's wisdom is abounding. Well, there's something else that is abounding. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A pastor relates how that his wife had an extended serious illness in 1982 and involved major surgery. And she faced great odds, but however, she came through in pretty good shape and the Lord did deliver. Well, shortly after that, this pastor received a phone call from a lady. She and her husband were dear friends of theirs, and she and her husband wanted to talk to him, and so she went ahead and talked there on the phone, and she said, "If I can keep from crying, I want to tell you that Bill and I are walking down the same road you and Francis have just walked." And she related the situation that her husband faced, similar to what this dear lady also faced. And so this pastor went ahead and shared with her the things that sustained them during that long, hard road. And at the end of the conversation, the lady said, "I feel much better just having talked with you." There is a great opportunity of ministry in the areas that we go through, the trials that we go through in our life. And this is a passage that we're familiar with, but is a great help. We often think of verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Keeping that thought in mind, I want to read the next 5 verses and just comment on them here this afternoon. "For as the sufferings of Christ," oh, there's the word, "abound in us, so also consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye all be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Here we have a very open testimony of the Apostle Paul. He had been relating his troubles to this church here in Corinth. They had participated in prayer for him, and they also were facing some trials themselves and not necessarily responding all that well to the pressures that they were facing. And so he gives here his heart, and it's just very helpful for us. And so we want to talk about abounding consolation. And so first of all, I want to see that the abounding consolation comes from the fact that sufferings of Christ abound. And so when that happens, there is an increased ability to comfort. An increased ability to comfort. Now, that first part of verse 5 is not exactly what we want to hear. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, overflow." You know, we love that word in so many other contexts, but that one's not so exciting. That sufferings are going to abound. But then, the latter part of the verse makes up for it. Now, I want you to note that the sufferings of Christ abound in us. The apostle knew that what he was going through, whether it be direct persecution or whether it be some of the other attacks of Satan through illness, through people that attacked him, other different angles, he knew that it was because he was partaking of Christ's life and therefore he was in a genuine spiritual battle. Now, folks, my heart got burdened to talk about this for a little bit this afternoon because we really have been insulated against most of that. We have seen for years the increasing antagonism toward the gospel by the intellectual elite and those leading our academic institutions and media and so forth. But it's always sort of been out there. But as we are seeing what's transpiring in these last months and last couple of years, we're realizing that there is now an increased ability of those who are in a spiritual battle against biblical truth in Christ to begin to actually affect our lives. And that's a whole new territory for us. And we have endeavored not to be overly negative over the years, you know, about what could be coming down the line. We certainly realize that our believer friends around the world have been suffering all during this time. I mean, this is going on everywhere. I don't want to look like we're always talking on a negative note. But the fact is that in these months and years ahead, being a partaker of Christ's life is going to mean that at times there is going to be an abounding problem, battle, sufferings. And this is something I'm going to address more as time goes on. But the definite attack upon churches and religious institutions in the last couple of years is unprecedented. Now, I do have to say, thank the Lord that the Supreme Court has stood up twice now in the last little bit of time, and that's encouraging for a little bit of reprieve. But my friends, without getting into detail, we need to realize that that is definitely going to be on the horizon, and that's why we as believers have got to be very serious about serving the Lord. But not just on the national or cultural level, we need to realize that even in our own lives, there is going to be an attack of Satan in various ways to try to bring down our walk with God. It can be health. It can be various attacks of people, maybe that you know within your family or at work or other believers sometimes that really have been inspired by the evil one to discourage you in your Christian life. In fact, all of that, every bit of that's covered in the Corinthian epistles. From illness to full persecution to the attack of other believers, health, all of that is mentioned. So this is directly in context with these epistles. And so we've got to understand that as we serve the Lord, God's going to do great things, but spiritual battle is inevitable. And I'm amazed how many believers back off from serving God because of this reality. Being a partaker with Christ at times causes the sufferings to abound. It says so. Now, the Apostle Paul rejoiced in regard to his sufferings in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I mentioned this just recently. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. He was learning and growing and understanding Christ and able to communicate through revelation so much about the depth of the truth of what Christ's sacrifice means to us, what's going on in this age. And he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, he said, I'm willing for whatever's happening to me because God is using it in the church planting movement, in my opportunity to give forth truth, and I could not do what I'm doing if I had not gone through this. That's quite an attitude, isn't it? And so spirit-filled service brings abundant tribulation. And we need to realize it can bring persecution Often we quote 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Thought about that. I do remember I went to the public school, and that was applicable. I had a little bit, not much, but I did have some persecution for having stood for Christ in those days. But I remembered thinking that either I'm not really living godly in Christ Jesus, or there just isn't persecution around. And I came to the conclusion, it's not that we're just insulated here in America. I don't think we are such on fire Christians that the world is opposing us. I think it's sort of a double thing there. Then, as I mentioned, there will be the attack of Satan, and it can be in just various kinds of troubles. If you have unique situations that come in your life, and you figure, where did that come from? Well, that's very possibly the evil one. And that can be very comforting, because if you're in a spiritual battle, you're in good shape, as we're going to see in a minute. And it can be just trials that maybe Satan does, but God has allowed that because he wants to perfect your faith and to grow you in the Lord. And so when we are in Christ, living out his life, there is going to be this reality. Now, folks, as Jesus warned his disciples, if you are going to be identified with me, you're going to have to suffer what I've suffered. And folks, do we really love Christ? Do we really appreciate what he went through? And is it all right for him to let that happen? Is his cause that important? Or is our life too important? I'm telling you, these are some hard questions that we're going to have to ask. But I got good news. The latter part of this verse, Spirit-filled service brings abundant blessing. I can tell you, anyone who has had to suffer for the cause of Christ, whether it be trials of life or persecution, will always tell you, if they have walked with God, that as much as they didn't like it necessarily when they were going through it, the blessings have been glorious, and they are not sorry that they went through it. And we could have testimonies right now of so many of you that could say, you know, those trials were tough, but what God has done is glorious. Aren't you glad that the word abound is in front of blessings too? Okay, it's not just abounding in trials, it's abounding in blessing. Now, folks, we need to believe that. God is serious about blessing those that will stand for him. I love the Beatitudes. I love to preach through them, and that concluding climactic Beatitude, Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I've not had many times in my life where there has been direct persecution, but I can tell you during those times, this is true. The word of God is true. It's joy beyond anything you have in any other experience in life. Whenever the Spirit of God has led you to be bold, has led you to take a stand, led you to do what clearly was his will, and then you get attacked for it, it's all of a sudden like Jesus is right there. And the Holy Spirit, it's just like the strength of God grips your soul. Now, you may be in weakness first, but when you really look to the Lord, I'm telling you, that's great joy. You say, you know, there are soul winners here. They just stay so consistent in soul winning. And I know they've been at times had doors slammed in their face and things said to them. I'll tell you what, those folks are continuing on because as hard as that is, nobody likes that. But there's a joy when you're walking down the sidewalk because all of a sudden Jesus shows up. You can just sense his heart. And it's not about you. You see, the only reason we ever shrink back on any of this is that we really have more self-life than we'd like to admit. And so it does bring a just abundant, abundant blessing. God gives true comfort. God will bless. And it's just a wonderful thing when God works. And so we need to really believe that. And then secondly, it gives, we will have an increased appreciation of trial. You know, we do everything in life possible, don't we, to avoid getting hurt? I don't know about you, but I don't like being hurt. I've been through a knee operation. That's no fun. I don't like that. I mean, that's I don't like to get physically hurt. And we don't like to be personally hurt. We don't like to get in situations. We like to avoid conflict. By the way, it's good to avoid conflict if it's about you, okay? But sometimes conflict is inevitable. But what happens is because we are constantly trying to avoid pain and trials, where we miss really serving the Lord. And the more you see God work as you take steps of faith and you embrace your trials, whatever they may be, and let God do the full work through them that God wants to do, you know, you lose more and more the fear of negative things happening. You know, it's a wonderful thing to face a week and say, you know, I know probably some things aren't going to go very well, but this is going to be a great week because I'm in the will of God and I know He's going to take care of me. And if there's a trial I don't like, I may suffer for a little bit, but it's going to be good and God is going to bless. I've often mentioned this, but I'll never forget the night that we were having a celebration for my mother's finishing of her chemotherapy. She had suffered terribly back in those days. It was pretty bad type of chemotherapy. And at that very time, my son had had a seizure, and we knew we were in deep trouble and because of the type of seizure it was. So here we are, supposedly, here's my mother with her handkerchief type thing around her head, and we're supposed to be rejoicing about this, still sobered by her cancer, and all of a sudden, we've got my son, and I'll never forget. My dad got up there at devotions at that celebration and just smiled and he said, Satan's overplayed himself. He has done it this time. It's going to be marvelous to see what God does. And I'm telling you, that was just a thrill that went through my heart because he was right. And what God did and all the way through that changed my life, saw miracles, and God abundantly blessed. He has promised to do that. And so we need to just look at life not from, oh no, what's going to happen next, to what is God going to do that's going to give me, help answer my prayers for continued growth. And so trials ultimately enable believers to minister to others. That's one of the, you know, if we're living for others, trials just gives us an enormous opportunity to be a blessing. And it says in verse 6, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And you know, if you really want to be a blessing, when you go through something, you have just opened up more avenues of being a blessing. I can tell you, anybody that's had cancer, I can relate to immediately. As far as some, I haven't had it, but to have some loved one that's very close to you. And I can, you know, I can comfort in a different way. God was with me. Or if people that have lost dear loved ones, I've lost dear loved ones. People who have gone through other issues that I've gone through, I can be a help. And so it's something that's a blessing. And it's used of God to help us get to a place where God can work through us. That wonderful passage about the thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Satan didn't know it, but he was being used as a tool. It was Satan's initiative, but God let him do it. Why? Because he didn't want Paul ruined by pride, by having giving revelation. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of whom? Christ may rest upon me. See, it's not just being able to empathize, it's able to empower. If you have a full awareness of your weakness and you are going through something and you're navigating it right, the Spirit of God is in control, God can trust you with power and you can help people. I'm telling you, people are in real need. And I'm telling you, if all you're doing is just trying to help them humanly, you're going to get discouraged. But if you're responding right to what God's allowing in your life, you will have power that will transform. And then trials are the tools of the Lord to enable believers. And I've already said that God just is changing us, helping us grow. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I've mentioned a number of times, my dad was very close to one of the key Romanian pastors through the intense persecution under Ceausescu, and I'll never forget when he came to our church. It was excruciating. My dad was over there during that, it was during that time. It was terrible. I went after it, but he often would quote this man that it's a shame that American Christians waste their trials. The growth that had happened in their churches and in those people's lives was enormous, and God was able to do a great work there in Romania. So trials also enable believers to encourage others, and I've already touched on that. It's a wonderful thing to be so in a place where God is working that you can think like Christ. For we have not, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we are right with God and responding, we can lead people to the throne of grace and they can be helped. And then trials develop confidence in God. He's in verse 7, and our hope, our confidence of you is steadfast, knowing that God's going to give you that consolation. He's going to give you that blessing. You're going to learn that God's grace is sufficient, just like we saw in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me just say, folks, that when we're partakers, when we are having abounding, overflowing troubles, we're going to have abounding, overflowing blessing, and that blessing is going to pour over into people, and we're going to see folks come to confidence in their Christian life. Listen, when a Christian comes to a place where they really trust God and fear is overcome, they really can become productive. And it's wonderful to be the kind of Christian that can help. Listen, one of the worst things about what's happened to us since March is the fear factor. Now, we have to have a smart factor. I'm not discounting that. We need to be wise. But this fear has disabled people and caused them to be inward instead of outward and upward. And that's why we've had this theme, fearless. By the grace of God, we need to follow His wisdom. And my friends, we don't have to fear. Our God will take care of us. And we need to be able to walk through life with that testimony so that we can help people come to a place where they're not about themselves, but they really are all about letting God do whatever it takes. If it's a trial, it's okay, because I want to be used of God. And then just quickly, finally, increased awareness of His protection. He said, verse 8, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, that we had a lot of trouble in Asia. In fact, we were just about done. We were pressed out of measure. You know, of course, he was only stoned and left for dead, things like that, you know. Pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. That's a good, honest testimony. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That's what they get to get to. In other words, the one that came out of the tomb, he's going to have to deliver me. And then he says triumphantly, who delivered us from a so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Listen, friends, when you get delivered, you know you're going to get delivered again. And it's a wonderful thing. I tell you, the courage that is needed today to walk with God and to be a bold witness and to live right and to be all that God wants us to be. It's so important, because we've got to communicate that kind of trust to other people. God delivered. He did it in a wonderful, wonderful way. And intimated in all of these verses is he wanted them to know that God had answered their prayers and they could trust the Lord. So I just want to mention this here. You start with the people that were around the birth of Christ. They had to suffer some, but what a joy and privilege. And all through the New Testament, it wasn't easy, but it was glorious. And the early church, and the next century church, and the next century church. We have been born on the backs of those that believe this. And my friends, it's not about us, but what about the people of Jesus Terry's that live in 2050? Are they going to have faith? Are they going to know that this is true? No matter what has to come. We cannot huddle up. We cannot hide. We cannot hibernate. This is the time for Christians to get liberated and not fear what might happen. We've got to believe that, yes, when I am walking in Christ, there is suffering. But oh, the blessings and the consolation and the comfort of God abounds even greater. His strength will be made in weakness. Folks, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, what I'm telling you is very important. Christians are huddling up all over America today. Now, not all, thank God. I've been really stirred by testimonies of many across the country too. But folks, it's time for us to say, Lord, I don't need to worry about what might happen. I got to quit worrying about that. If I'm walking with you, it's all going to be good. And I want to get to a point that I believe it. And I am willing, whatever the cost, to do what you want me to do. And my friends, when God gets on the scene, when Christ is on the march, when the Holy Spirit has the control of his people, you cannot stop the forward progress of the church. I tell you, the best thing that's happening to us right now is the trial. But are we afraid of the suffering? Ask yourself, is there fear there? Let's give it to God. And let's believe that this is true. Yes, sufferings will abound, but the consolation also abounds. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.